Will never It's good to be here. Good to see you. We've had a nice, cool afternoon and looking for the same tomorrow. And we know we'll get God to answer our prayer. It's going to be hot and hell, and I'm thankful not to go there. Ain't that right? Well, I hope you brought your Bible tonight. I need to make announcements, don't I? You know, this morning I didn't know. I was trying to keep things kind of quiet because Brother Herschel's leaving us, you know, and I was trying to be civilized and decent. Little did I know he knew. So we're having fellowship afterwards, and I don't know what it is. I know it might be just a little dab of this and that. So stick around for fellowship for a few minutes. If you didn't bring nothing, don't worry. If you didn't know it, you couldn't bring nothing. So there's enough. And if ain't enough, just look at it, whatever left over, and say, okay, that'll be all right. If you're hungry, go quick. I don't know if there's any food much, but if you're a sweet person and want sweets, get in line in a hurry, all right? That's my announcements. Turn your Bible to the book of John, the first chapter. Almost said 1 John, but it's St. John, the first chapter. I want to read a couple of verses here, and then I want to head over, Lord willing, to the Old Testament. 1 John, the first chapter. Whenever we were growing up, where we lived in town before we moved out in the country, we had a tree in our backyard. And it was in a good location. It was pretty much back door, not too far away, and there it was. And it was a good climbing tree to get you in trouble because you climbed it and you break the limbs. It was an apple tree. It wasn't meant for climbing like other trees was. In other words, you got fussed on if you was in that apple tree. Through the years, as a youngster, you figured out how to get them apples off the tree. And you could shake it, and you could throw rocks at it, and you could do all those kinds of things looking for that one special apple you done picked out from the ground. And then whenever you was known to eat too many of them, you suffered for it. Why am I saying that? We've lost the art of a lot of those things in growing up nowadays. Kids don't know what it is to throw a rock at an apple tree to get an apple down or shake it or whatever. And if you're smart enough, you could climb so far, but you shouldn't get out there all the way to the end. You might find yourself on the ground. But them were some fun times. The reason why I brought that, God knows more than we give him credit. God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, we read that. Sometimes I read that, and I don't listen to it. I hear it, but I don't listen. Now, Charlene is a mind reader. She reads my mind. Don't go very much further than that, but she reads my mind. And she can tell me what I'm thinking sometimes. Now, I'm not going the other direction. I'm smarter than that, okay? But she'll tell me things like, you were going to say so-and-so, and it wasn't even on my mind. But because she said it, I'd go ahead and say it, you know. Why is that? She's pretty smart, but she ain't smart as God. God knows if I intended to say it. If I intended to say it. Didn't have to say it, but if I intended to say it. You ever got mad and try not to show it? All the time. When you was growing up and somebody'd say smoke coming out your ears, you almost believed it. Now, we got little Blakely tonight before we come to church. I believe she had smoke coming out her ears. She was upset. Now, the reason why I'm saying all that before I get started, I want you to know something. God knows something about us. We're going to read something and that we've read 100 times four. But let's read verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, if we don't read any more, man, wouldn't you like to have been saying, we've been looking and we've been looking and we've been looking and we found him. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He'd heard that before, hadn't he? Philip said unto him, come and see. That sounds like two old buddies right there, don't it? Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Pretty good, ain't it? Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. I pray you help us. I pray you move upon the service, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe God knows where we're at all times. When he said he saw him under the fig tree, that wouldn't mean he was looking from a distance. That meant he saw him under the fig tree. God has us always. God has the ability to see us every one. God has the ability to intervene any time his will permits. Doesn't sound like much, because we're commanded to pray. And if we do our prayers like many times we've done, we've almost said, God, aren't you not even aware what's going on in my life? We've come to the point in our life, well, God, there's a situation here you may not be aware of. There's things going on that I've done that I'm not sure you even know about. We've come to conclusions that some of our actions and some of our dealings is all to ourselves. There's not a thing that's said or done that God doesn't know. Now, what we have come to terms with is we've got to see what Jesus saw. And we've got to see what Nathanael saw. Nathanael heard from Philip and it didn't sway him. Not one bit. Whenever you have a friend, and I really believe they were buddies, when you have a friend that will convey, we've been looking and we've been looking, we haven't been able to find, and he comes with the word, guess what? It's him. It's easy to be skeptical. We, as today Christians, are very skeptical. I'm telling you. Just because you stand behind a pulpit don't mean I'm going to pay you much attention. In fact, if you don't have the doctrine to back it up, I'm going to pay you no attention. Why? I'm not going to introduce these ears to that kind of hearing that's contrary to the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. I'm just that stubborn. Why should we worry when God's in charge? But God still has educational things for us to learn. I'll get started in a minute. Just watch. It's important to know Nathanael's stance. It's important to know that he took it with a grain of salt, what Philip said. It was important to know that when he was walking closer to Jesus, he goes to him with eyes like me and you would go to him. And in fact, if we didn't know Jesus, if we didn't know him on the inside, we could be very, very strange to him on the outside. But I believe because our knowledge of God on the inside, when we see him for the very first time, we're going to know him. I don't know how. I ain't figured that one out. More to come later. You can ask those folks that's done went on ahead of us, but they can't tell us. The truth of it is, God has a way of opening himself up to us when we see it. Now, there's been other people in the Bible that have had problems. And the way that they've had problems is when they would not recognize it was God actually going to do some speaking or directional finding for them. We have that when Moses. We have that when the donkey began to talk. We have that with all kinds of folks when these hold their peace, the rocks and the mountains will even cry. See, there's been communication things that has happened along the journey. But the one place that I want to go to tonight is one that I don't think I've used it before. I want you to listen to it. It'll be in the book of 1 Kings. And I want to just take a few minutes, not long, for a few minutes. And I want you to listen to a little bit about what we call not the Shunammite woman. When that woman was presented with Elijah, Elijah made statements like, if you'll take care of the food for me first, everything's going to be all right. Now, Elijah had power with God. But Elijah didn't get that power from God by being something special himself. God was the one special that made Elijah great. There's not a preacher alive, there's not a Christian alive that'll be great on their own merits. The only goodness we've got is from God. There's not a good bone in our body. But the goodness comes from God. We can understand when that woman went to the meal barrel and scooped out what she needed, and the next day she scooped out what she needed. We understand it. But you know the big piece of that puzzle is? She went there because it was a promise of God, and everything worked out, and her eyes saw, and her eyes, she was the beneficiary. Every miracle that took place, she was the beneficiary. Now, can you imagine going to the meal barrel? Famine still going on. Promise was made, long as this thing is going on like it is, God's going to take care of you. Can you imagine going to that meal barrel and open that rascal up and knowing by faith, there's going to something be there. That's good, isn't it? It's good to know God will provide. Let's read the part that we don't read about. When you think about Elijah, he started in a different spot. Verse 4, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens, birds, to feed thee there. Now you're going to sit by this little brook called Cherith, a little brook. That don't mean it's a raging river. That means it's a brook. That's a small thing. That's one of them things that you played in with a kid. That's the reason sometimes you don't think about it, but they still can be a lot of water in the brook. He commanded the ravens there to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. And bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, I don't know how to explain this, how this works. I know that them ravens is like a, I kind of look like a crow. It's a big old bird. They're a thief. They'll steal. They're a big enough bird that if you're a little bird, you better watch out, because them big birds going to run you over and you ain't going to get that food. Now, I've watched a lot of battles of birds over the years. And I hadn't figured out this until now. I believe that them birds could talk, not like a parrot. No, a man can teach a parrot how to talk. How, I don't know. But I believe them birds could talk. Everything else could. Donkeys talk, rocks talk. I believe them birds could talk. How you know, preacher? It's right there in the Bible. If you find it, I just can't find it. It's just got to be there. I want you to listen. Why is that important? God commanded. Now, Elijah was told to do certain little things. And his responsibility, let me say it my way, warn the wicked. His responsibility, preach the word. His responsibility didn't go any further than that. God said, preach the word, go there. When you are following the will of God, you're kind of like Nathaniel. You kind of hear, you kind of see, but you're a little bit hesitant. You want to step out like the Apostle Peter and step out on that water, but you know it's easier to sink than it is to walk on water. Every one of us would have been a joy to been around Nathaniel after he told the testimony, guess what? God saw me under the fig tree. Now you tell me how happy anybody else would have been. Not a bit at all. God saw me under the fig tree. That wouldn't even crack a smile out of most Christians today. But if you're Nathaniel, it was the thing that meant something on the inside. You see, there's a lot of time answered prayer is only for the one who prays it. The one who prays it and gets that answer, oh, they got an answer straight from God above. But let's go a little bit further here. God had to be close enough to convey the message. Elijah, I believe he delivered the word that God wanted to deliver. Famine, it's going to come. It's not going to rain. Whenever he went down to the brook Cherith, God could have sent him anywhere in this world. There was no communication from Elijah to anybody else, not at all. So he didn't have to stop him there. But he stopped him there for a reason a whole lot bigger than him. He could have sent him straight to that woman and said, listen, feed me now. You know what? The timing didn't work. She's probably still had a lot of meal in the barrel at that time. But because of that little hesitant move that God said, stay right there, God utilized ravens. Now, ravens are, I'm going to just say they're thieves. They'll get food and grab it and go. But this time, they weren't told that. God commanded them. Now, I didn't say it this morning, but think about it with me just a moment. You remember the first dove that went out of the ark, you know, and it went out and it flew out and it brought back, you know, them branches and you know, it sent it out again and it didn't return and all that kind of stuff. Do you think God had his hand in that? You think God knew what he was doing? It just took man a little bit longer to figure out God knew what he was doing. And whenever he told that bird, not that bird, don't you go back. That bird went on his merry way. You see, God can communicate to animals just like he did when he put them animals on there two by two. Noah didn't go gather them up. Them rascals marched on their own right inside that boat. You see, God knows how to communicate, but here's how he did that. In the morning, God say to ravens, not one. Now, I ain't figured out this, but here's what I believe. You remember when God caused manna to come down like the dew on the ground? Said them folks would get up in the morning and go and they'd see that manna over there and they'd go and gather. And you, if you remember, that they were to go and gather but not get more than was necessary. If you got more, there's going to be trouble. Well, so they go out there and gather. On that sixth day, they had to gather twice as much because they couldn't do it on. So it was allowed. Everything worked just hunky-dory fine. Now, I just wonder how much Elijah could eat. Because the promise of God was, I'm going to sustain thee. That means he's going to keep you. He's going to provide for you what you need. Now, you may think one bird showed up that day. And if one bird showed up with what I see most birds eat, it ain't very much. Wintertime years ago when we was a kid, every now and then we'd get the heel of a loaf of bread, the end piece, and we'd take it and bust it up in little old bitty pieces, and there'd be snow on the ground. Mother would say, throw it out there for the birds. And I thought, what are we wasting this piece of bread for? Throw that out there in the front yard, and it wouldn't be but just a few minutes, there'd be a bird. And here's another bird, and here's another bird. Well, how in the world, out of all the birds in the sky, how'd they know to go right there? Because God told them. Because the Bible said, as God clothes the grass of the field, God knows how to take care of them birds in the air. And if he knows how to take care of them birds in the air, he knows how to take care of you. And on that morning, when it come time for that first feeding, the brook from the water was doing good. Here come ravens. That meant there was more. I really believe there's more than one. It used a little S at the end. That tells me more than one. And that means they come down, and guess what? It might have been a little piece of bread out of one of them's mouth and another piece of bread out of another. But at the end of the journey, when they got to where they were and they dropped their food, there was bread and flesh in the morning. Now, how'd it work for that afternoon? How do you know? Did the birds just do it on their own? Or did God say at eventide, hey, you ravens, go gather the food? Now, what's important to me is to know how much, what God said to go get. As this journey began to take place, there was a measuring device that no one knew, and that was the water. He drank from the water. Not one time did the Lord tell Elijah, said, guess what? This brook's going to dry up on you one day. The first days of that ordeal, I believe Elijah had to kind of look and say, I'm getting a little hungry. I don't know. No, I believe when God said, you know, it's time for the prophet to eat, and he provided food day after day after day. It got to the point, I bet, Elijah could have named them birds. It got to the point where they could almost, instead of the birds eat out of his hand, they could eat out of their beak, so to speak. Why is that important? Because if you're used to seeing the miracles of God, sometimes we kind of lessen the miracle. Sometimes when folks get saved and we hear about it, we say, oh, well, that's good. In reality, if you're on the one getting saved, that's the best day of your life ever. You see how sometimes we take the shine off of it? Midway through the journey, we don't know how many days. You know, we can look around, we can figure up some things. Midday through the journey, everything going still good, morning evening, he's getting food and water's kind of to no avail. We don't understand it, but everything's just fine. It didn't come to the end of the journey that the brook began to dry up. Now, God still said, I'm going to sustain thee. The last day that Elijah stayed there, God fulfilled that promise by sustaining him. The very last day. You know, my Bible tells me that God will take care of me and you even up to our last day on this earth. We don't know if our sickness is going to grab us where we don't eat our last few days, but God knows. I've seen loved ones that would just seem almost like waste away, you know, in the last few days, and you just wanted to get a little water down them. You thought they was thirsty. But God knows. And God took care of Elijah and fed them birds just like he started out the journey. When God starts something, he knows how to finish it. He's going to take care of us. He might use means that would be unorthodox, but I don't care how he does it. As long as God promised he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And when he told him, said, you got to leave, you got to go somewhere else, the raven's job was over. And they could have been the big braggers in heaven. I helped feed. I helped take care of the prophet Elijah. But them birds in heaven could say this: God provided food for me to go get for the prophet. Now, can I throw in a tidbit? This was a famine. That meant there was trouble for people to find food. It wasn't a problem at the beginning of a famine. It's never a problem to find food as long as there's food in the cupboard. But when the cupboard starts getting bare, it's a little bit more difficult to find the food. You know what the Bible says in the latter day, and I'm talking about in the book of Revelation, there is actually going to be a time where it says, hurt not the oil and the wine, I believe is what it says. What that really means is there's going to be a group of rich people that's going to have plenty. Even when everybody else is buying and selling and struggling and hardly getting by. But the rich are going to have plenty. You know where the birds got the food when it got so rough? God just sent them to their house. How in the world is it possible that God knows where to get food? It's because he knows what you have at your house. He knows. We're facing things of unknown. Brother Herschel's leaving, going miles and miles away. Same way when he traveled up this way to an unknown territory when he come up this way. But he's not going alone. He's going to be headed back down where there's family. But he's still not going alone. Because he's depending on God like me and you have to depend on God. We, on the other hand, like to think we got all of our bases covered. But there's a little thing called trusting God. And I really believe as bad as it was for Elijah to say, I'm the only one left, or any other prophet or any other person in the Bible to say, woe is me and woe is me, I could be easily like Nathaniel and say, I don't know if it's really you. But when God told him where he was, he knew. There is a deep, settled peace. And I made just a little minor reference this morning. When we die, I believe in dying grace. I really do. I believe it's a transition from this world of wanting to stay and maybe wanting to survive and live and breathe and all those things. But that transition period when God says, it's time, all of a sudden your eyes, your thoughts, your intentions go to that other world. Oh, you're going to miss folks, but you're going to a better place. I believe that kind of transgression, that kind of transition from one step to the other is like when Nathaniel saw it in his heart, that it was the Lord. It was easy for him to say the words, you're the one we're looking for. Now, let me transition this and we'll hush. When Elijah went to the woman and said, would you provide for me a little meal? You know what he had learned from? He had learned what God had taught him for days and days and days. God will provide when he has a purpose. God will provide for me and God will provide for you. If you work a public job and you lose your job, God will provide. If it seems like there's no means necessary that you can survive, God provides. Friend, there's so many Bible verses that back up God taking care of his own. And he's not going to stop because it's the year 2026. He's going to see us till we get home. And when that brook dried up, there was no worry nor regret from the prophet of the Lord as he walked away. He was walking away in the direction that God wanted him to go. That's the same thing for us. We may have food on the table, but if it ain't the direction God wants us to go, the food won't do us no good at all. Let's have a song invitation. Don't know your heart, but I know the Lord. Don't know where I'm headed, but I know one day I'm headed home. Don't have an idea what's going to happen next week, but God does. You see, those are the things that I need to know. He's watching over me. I've said it many a times, the sleep of a righteous man is sweet. We don't know how often that God just watches over us while we sleep. It's like that little baby back there. We kind of keep an eye on it when it's awake or asleep. Even when it's sound asleep, you kind of look an eye over there. You look an eye over there. God watches over us. Let's turn to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you help yourself.